Cape Crusaders, and welcome to another edition of Batman, the Animated Series Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist and writer, and the guy whose butthole is named Crime Alley after Christmas. It's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
Oh, you know my butthole so well.
I don't think that's what we should... That's the takeaway.
This is someone's first episode. They're like, I don't think I'm going to listen to this podcast.
How are you? We're in the same room again.
Yeah, sound is going to be different. You've got a new microphone as well.
Yeah, so sound could be better or it could be worse because we're in a big old living room.
We got ice machines going, beer machines. Your eating's going to kick in. I have a French bulldog that goes.
Yeah. So background noises aside, how's the art life?
It's good. I've officially flattered all of the art for Outbreaks, all of Monica's story. And lettered it as well, so that was a huge weight off my shoulder. I've been just chipping away at that every single morning, like 20 to 30 minutes every single day. That's finally done. I've decided that I'm going to now change the cover to issue one to be my art. And that's nothing on David Hartman's amazing cover. Like, I love that cover. But I just figured, like, I feel like the number one issue should probably be me drawing it. I just thought that would be pretty cool. And then that's something that, you know, when I release the next Kickstarter, which is going to be on April 1st, baby. Oh, yeah. Launching April 1st. There'll be something new for people to pick up. So I've been busy chipping away on that. I'm near the end of my Doctor Doom Rocket Raccoon team-up book, which has been absolutely incredible.
Hell yeah.
And I've chatted with Marvel, and they want me to keep working for them. So it looks like I'm going to be working for Marvel for the long haul. But I do have a business meeting on Monday with another company about some creator-owned stuff. So fingers crossed that will go well.
Have you told me about this?
No, I haven't.
Oh, so I don't know either. And we'll find out after the pod. Yeah. Or I'll find out after the pod. Okay. Exciting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm working, which is great. I'm producing my book. And then I'm pretty sure I'm off to Abu Dhabi the beginning of February for Middle East Comic Con, which is like the biggest convention in all the Middle East, so I'm looking forward to that, meeting the fans out there.
Oh yeah, it's 2024. Happy New Year, everybody. This is our first episode.
Happy New Year, baby.
So lots are happening at the beginning of the year already.
I am working to the max right now, but it's been good. I mean, I've been doing my YouTube, which has been going well. I've got thousands of views on my videos, so if you want to see me talking about comic book industry stuff, then you can check me out at Robson Inc. on YouTube. And then I've also launched my Patreon, which I got a few members for. And what's really fun about that is there's a few artists in there. One of them is a guy that I've known for quite a while called Reese Hannigan, who's a listener of this podcast and a supporter of Outbreaks, which is great. And he's like so close to being like good enough to draw comics.
Oh, like, really?
So close. So what I've been doing is, since he signed up for my Patreon, he's a member of my Discord server, which is a private server. And what I've been doing...
Do you think we should have one for the podcast, by the way?
What?
Do you think we should have a Discord for the podcast?
Nah.
Nah?
Nah, just people...
I know podcasts have that, and I always feel like, do I need one? Are we left out?
We can have one if you like. It's very easy to set up.
Maybe.
But what I'm getting to is, a part of my Discord package is that I'm here to help aspiring comic book artists get their work to a professional level. And he's so close. Like, he's been sending me his portfolio, because he's building a portfolio right now, because this year he's going to send it off to Marvel, DC, and all this stuff. So I've been helping him, like, he sends stuff. And what's going on with him is that his anatomy's great, his figure drawing's great, it's his storytelling that's holding him back. And I never, like, put two and two together. Like, I went to film school, I studied cinematography. Putting a shot and, like, panel-to-panel storytelling is so second nature to me that I never realized it could be, like, the reverse for somebody, where it's like, I'm great at drawing, I just don't, like, know how to tell a story. So I've been helping him with that there, and his work is looking excellent right now. So
That's,
like, if you're an aspiring comic book artist out there and you just need someone to, like, a professional to look over your work and, like, show you what you're doing wrong and stuff, and please consider joining my Patreon, signing up to be a member. If you just want to be a part of the Discord, I believe it's like $2 a month. That's it. Like, that cheap to have a professional comic book artist, like, look at your work constantly. So if that's your thing, great. If you just want to support me and all of the creator-owned books that I'm planning on making, then, yeah, sign up for my Patreon, baby. And give me that money.
Yeah. Links in the description below.
Yeah. And then April 1st, I'm launching my third issue of my comic. And I still don't know if I'm ready to say who the cover artist is.
Oh, come on.
I still don't want to jinx it.
No, you don't want to do it? He's done the...
He has done the sketch for
it. He's done the sketch. It's happening. Incredible. You posted it, right?
All right, I'll just say it on this podcast. I won't post it publicly, so this is just for you guys to hear. For the cover art, the main cover artist on my zombie comic, Outbreaks, issue 3, is co-creator of the fucking Walking Dead, Tony Moore. So the guy who first drew Walking Dead, he co-created Rick, he co-created Carl, he co-created Andrea, like all these amazing characters, Shane, all that stuff, is the cover artist for Outbreaks. And that's all thanks to you guys, because you got us to 5K raised in the last campaign, which means I had the extra dosh to pay for a proper cover to be done. And it's fucking awesome. You've seen the cover.
It's so cool.
It's not even done yet. What he's sending, he's when like...
I know, I was like, that's ready to go to print. And you're like, that's just the layout.
He's like, yeah, that's the layout of what I'm... He's like, this is what I'm thinking of doing, so let me know now if I need to change anything. I was like, you can just give me that, and it will be good.
There is a real ode to Walking Dead
on
that cover with a particular person's head.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know if he intended to do that. He may change it in when it's done.
But it looks like a certain character.
It does, And it's just such a good cover. Like, it's like there's so much fun stuff. I never would have thought of putting cinema 3D like glasses on zombies.
It's a great idea.
And it's so funny and like, oh, it's so good. So yeah, April 1st, if you want to get yourself some Tony Moore Walking Dead zombie art, which is the best, then come and check out Outbreaks. Go to my website, speechcomics.com, sign up to my newsletter, and I will let you know when we go live. And that's enough plugging. I'm sorry that I've been plugging my stuff for this whole thing.
Well, we've had a break, so that's to be expected. All right, I've just realized that you haven't chosen your Leslie Tompkins, because we're about to go into our casting call.
I'll review what you chose then. It's okay. An old lady. I mean, she'll be all right.
Yeah.
Who will they cast in this part?
All right, so we have Dr. Leslie Tompkins, first featured in this episode, and the episode we're reviewing today is called Appointment in Crime Alley. It's her first appearance. She's in about like 4 or 5 episodes in the show. She's quite a pivotal character. She is someone very close to Bruce. She's kind of like, before Hush was created... Because obviously she doesn't turn evil, but you know how like Hush has that relation to the Waynes, and like before Bruce Wayne even lost his parents, she's like Thomas Wayne's like co-worker turned friend. Like, I think she's
probably
like
his side piece.
Oh, break me off a piece of that, Tompkins.
Maybe Leslie Tompkins is his real mother.
Oh, I like this conspiracy.
And she said to Alfred, like, I'll take him in, like, I'll let him know. And he's like, no.
He will never know.
You know, and then she went, no, he deserves the Wayne fortune. Like, he's gone through so much that, you know, let him.
She's not trying to go after that Wayne fortune.
No, she's a noble person.
Okay, so she is.
Even though she was cheating with somebody.
She was definitely. So, okay. Dr. Leslie Tompkins, she's, I would assume, like, early 60s, would you say? Like, she's an older woman.
I thought she was like 70.
Maybe 70.
The moment a woman goes, oh, it's a bit chilly out, and then ties a handkerchief like around their face, they age 25 years.
That's a very Aunt May move, isn't it? Okay, so we're going to review my choices. I have a number one choice. Would you like to hear my backups before my number one?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was looking for stronger characters in there, like 60s and 70s, because she's a strong character. She's like, as she said, I'm not afraid of these streets. She's walking Crime Alley like...
Well, she should be, because she should be. She got in a lot of danger.
She's fucking old, but yeah. Okay.
Not because she's old. She just, you know...
She did end up like, getting kidnapped.
I'm not afraid. Oh no, I'm going to blow up.
Yeah. Okay. So my backups here. We've got, if we wanted to go British, we've got Emma Thompson, which I think would be quite fitting in that role. Emma Thompson from like Love Actually and like so many other roles that aren't coming to my head right now.
Who is she in Love Actually?
She's married to Alan Rickman. She's the one that discovers her husband.
Okay, she's in Harry Potter as the cookie lady.
Yes, exactly. By the way, I found out...
Did she play Margaret Thatcher in The Crown? Or was that somebody else?
No, that's somebody else. Okay. So Emma Thompson, if we wanted to go British, these are my backups again. Catherine O'Hara, who is the mum to Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. That's what she's most famous for. But she's also like Sally in Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And she's in that show, Schitt's Creek.
She's got a huge relationship with Tim Burton as well. So that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that. That's true. The other one was Sigourney Weaver as a backup. Sigourney Weaver would be quite a good choice. Very strong. Probably the first, like, action hero female character, I would say, like, as a main character in Alien franchise and stuff. But I went with someone which I thought this was my personal favorite choice, that I thought embodied Leslie Tompkins' softness, where she can be soft. She was very caring towards Bruce, obviously, in his moments where he's, you know, mourning the loss of his parents. And she's got a very soft voice, but she's also very stern. And, like, you just wouldn't mess with her. You could just tell, like, this is someone that's, like, well-seasoned and she can stand her own 2 feet. I think Jamie Lee Curtis would be an excellent Leslie Tompkins.
Yeah, I'm in. I love Jamie Lee Curtis. I think she's incredible. And, you know, she's got a real soft side in Christmas with the Cranks.
Yeah.
And we know she could be more of a hard ass in things like Halloween. So I approve. Stamp. Done.
Okay, locked in. We got Jamie Lee Curtis as Leslie Tompkins. Yeah, I like that a lot. All right, bud, are we ready to review this episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this episode is titled Appointment in Crime Alley. It came out on the 17th of September, 1992. Directed by Boyd Kirkland, written by Jerry Conway, animation by Dong Yang.
My wife wasn't even alive.
Featuring Kevin Conroy as Batman and Bruce Wayne, Efren Zimbalist Jr. as Alfred Pennyworth, Ed Asner as Roland Daggett, Marie Devon, or Mary Devon, I keep on finding different ones that say Mary or Marie, as Summer Gleason. We've got Angel Harper as Maggie. We've got David L. Lander as Nitro, Diana Mulder as Dr. Leslie Tompkins, Bob Ridgely as a madman with the sniper gun, got Alexander Simmons as the girl, and Jeffrey Tambor as Crocker and the SWAT leader.
I hardly know him.
Oh, God. Okay, honorable mentions.
me and my wife have been watching like old World War II reenactments recently. We thought like the most inappropriate version of that joke would be Hitler. I hardly know her. And there's so many other people in that his circle of people like Himmler. I hardly know her. Oh dear.
Okay, honorable mentions here. Dong Yang animated this episode, and they previously animated episodes that we've reviewed, which were Nothing to Fear, Joker's Favor, I've Got Batman in My Basement, Two Face Part 2, and The Forgotten.
They gotta work. I've gotta eat. And we've established that. What I'm eating is people.
We've got director Boyd Kirkland, who's credited previously on this podcast, in our Nothing to Fear review. So go back and check that out if you haven't yet already. Writer Jerry Conway wrote this episode, as well as
credit. Jerry Conway.
You know who Jerry Conway is? He was also the teleplay writer for the Two-Face episode that we haven't yet to review called Second Chance, which is coming up much later, but a very good episode. But Jerry Conway is also known for writing multiple episodes of Law & Order. He wrote the first episode of Spider-Man, the animated series, Night of the Lizard. He was also, and he also wrote the story for the film Conan the Destroyer.
Oh, interesting.
But
speaking of people that wrote films, you know what? This is such a random insert. But you know that Renfield movie that just came out?
With Nick Cage.
Nick Cage is a vampire.
Yeah.
Or Dracula. Did you know that was written by Robert Kirkman?
No.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I think it wasn't very good.
I know. Robert Kirkman was like really like disappointed by it, the way it was done.
Portrayed.
And I was like, what? If you said in the trailer from the creator of The Walking Dead, I would have seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, why didn't they do that?
No idea.
But Jerry Conway, going back, he's a big comic book writer.
Yeah, that's why I went, oh, Jerry Conway.
Didn't he
create The Punisher or something crazy like that?
He did. So he's contributed to the world of comics, the most famous being the Death of Gwen Stacy storyline.
Right.
He wrote that. Plus, he is credited for creating many characters. Here we go. I think we'd done this on Spider-Man, but we'll do this here as well. He created Mayor Hamilton Hill.
Hmm.
So that's a character used on the show. He created Hammerhead from Marvel. He created Man-Thing from Marvel. He created the character Killer Frost, DC. He created Ben Reilly Spider-Man, which I did not know.
One of my favorite Spider-Man.
He created Killer Croc. Count Vertigo, who's coming up in another episode, Werewolf by Night, Tombstone, nice. Jason Todd, and The Punisher.
Yeah, I mean, not much.
Not much. I mean, yeah, what's he got to brag about? How do you get this gig? Yeah, he's a fucking legend. So it was interesting to see that this was the episode that they selected Jerry Conway for, because it was a very... You would think they'd give him like a Killer Croc episode, you know, considering he created that character, or maybe more focused on Mayor Hamilton Hill because he created that character, but they're like, no, let's give him the... This was kind of... This episode, and we'll get into it, I felt like this episode was like street-level crime that Batman has to deal with.
Yeah, like The Punisher.
Like The Punisher, actually. That's a very good point. And I also felt like it was like the Arkham game side missions, this whole episode, where it was like there was no major villain. It was Batman trying to stop crimes whilst trying to deal with the big plot line that went along with
it. Yeah, but that's like refreshing. I really love when Batman's up against a normal person opposed to a supervillain. And like, I love that the villain gets away with it in the end as well. Like,
yeah, that was good.
That's great. It's like, fuck you. You can't fucking punch me and arrest me. Prove that I had any involvement in it. Like, that's fun stuff. It shows like that, you know, Batman is powerless at some point. So,
yeah,
you know, Daggett must have felt fucking dope at that point. When he's like, oh, you can't get me. Like, the way he looked in the car with the cheeky smile at him was like, gotcha.
Acting creds here. We've got all returning characters have been credited previously on this podcast in their first appearances, such as Marie Devon as Summer Gleason in Christmas with the Joker, or Ed Asner as Roland Daggett in Feet of Clay Part 1. So go back and listen to those episodes if you're interested in learning more about those voice actors. As far as new credits go for this episode, we've got David L. Lander, who plays Nitro, who's this kind of like squirmish, weaselly little guy. He's also known for playing the Bird in Dr. Dolittle 2, Thumper in A Bug's Life, Principal Squiggy in Scary Movie, and, this one's for you, bud, the Tanning Intruder in Christmas with the Cranks.
What, the wow, sorry, wow, okay, that's crazy.
That's Nitro. I knew you'd love that. When I saw that, I was like, oh, I can't wait to tell him.
Yes, it's a terrible... Look, I know Christmas with the Cranks is a bad movie, but me and my wife enjoy it just because we enjoy the married couple having to go through Christmas. That's right. Why we like it. I'm well aware it is not a good movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's that. I don't know if anybody's seen this movie, but there is such a weird scene where Jamie Lee Curtis is in a tanning booth and this guy just walks in and he goes, wow, no, sorry. And it's the weirdest.
It's the Nitro voice.
Yeah.
It's the same voice.
The strangest delivery. And like, oh, yeah. So that's very interesting.
Yes. So sadly, just to finish, he passed away in 2020. At the age of 73.
Did you have COVID?
I knew you'd ask that. They're never going to say, like, COVID complications. I mean,
no, COVID!
But we've got Diana Mulder, who plays Dr. Leslie Tompkins. She's also known for playing Rosalind in L.A. Law and Dr. Catherine Pulaski in Star Trek Next Generation. Not much else that stood out to me for her. Her last acting cred was actually for Batman the Animated Series. She is still alive as well, and she was born in 1938.
Okay, so she's 8 years younger than our grandmother, which makes her 86.
86. Yeah. But her last acting credit was for Batman the Animated Series, so she stopped doing acting after Batman.
Okay, so she retired like in the late 60s, which is when you should retire.
Yeah, normal. Yeah. We got Robert Ridgely, who plays the Madman. He's also known for playing the Colonel in Boogie Nights, Mayor Egan in Beverly Hills Cop, the Hangman in Robin Hood Men in Tights, and also Walter Kenton in the movie Philadelphia. He also has a little cameo as Kraven the Hunter in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. He passed away in 1997 at the age of 65.
It's sad that the standout role there for me is the Hangman from Robin Hood,
Men in Tights. That's why I put it in there. And finally, we've got Jeffrey Tambor, who plays Crocker and the SWAT leader. He's well known for playing George Bluth in Arrested Development.
Oh, okay.
As well as Tom Manning in Hellboy, Adam Shadowchild in the movie Paul, and Mayor Who in How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
So the way my hair grows, if it gets long and I don't put any product in it, it splits down the middle. So my wife always says, like, ah, the mayor of Whoville is here. And I always go, Merry Christmas, when it looks like that.
All right, let's dive into my utility belt of fun facts here. This episode is based on the comic There Is No Hope in Crime Alley by Denny O'Neill. This episode came about due to the network requesting a day in the life of a Batman story. Mm-hmm. So that very much was, wasn't it? It was like him just driving around, like I said, kind of like the Arkham games. He's just going from
I really like the intro where he's fucking pumping fucking iron and he's like doing the, like the power squats on the bars and he looks fucking yoked, yeah, baby.
I like seeing Bruce work out because it just shows like the peak level of fitness he's trying to be at the maintain as Batman. I love that.
And the fact that he doesn't like listen, he's not listening to like fucking like old like WWE songs of people coming out like entrance music like here comes the money or like Stone Cold's theme to get pumped up. He's just watching the news because yeah. That motherfucker is multitasking.
Exactly.
He's like, what's going on in the world? So I know what the fuck's going on so I can do my Batman shit.
Get my pump on.
Yeah. And then Alfred's just in the corner like, oh my.
When Batman confronts Daggett and tells him, I defused the bomb at the hotel, Batman's mouth is clearly closed. I know you didn't see that, but he is just standing there, lips closed, and Kevin Conroy's talking, so that's obviously an animation error. When Batman confronts Crocker and Nitro, they are getting into a truck that has J. Olsen and Sons photography equipment at discount prices written on it. This is obviously a reference to Jimmy Olsen of the Superman comics, who is a photographer for the Daily Planet.
Oh, okay.
Which is a cool little cameo there. Bruce Timm has stated that this is one of the few episodes that makes him cry at the end, apparently.
Oh.
I mean, I thought it was a pretty poetic ending.
Wimp. What a nerd. Nerd. What a fucking loser.
I'm going to give him a burp from there, bro.
I'm obviously joking. That's a throwback to Big, what was it?
Well, it was
Schoolyard Bully Harv or something like that.
And then also Mr. Freeze being like a jock as well.
I'm finally cool.
Four of the apartment mailboxes that Batman passes read Bruce Timm, Eric Radomski, Haven Alexander, and Nicole Poirot. These are the producers and production assistants for the series, so nice little cameo for them there. And finally, a scene in which Batman sets the shields on the Batmobile is a nod to Tim Burton's Batman. He also uses a grappling hook to do a 90-degree sharp turn around a corner as well, much like the Batmobile in that film. You noticed that too, didn't you, when you saw the shields? You're like, oh yeah, that's a nod to Batman 89. All right, bud, what did you think of this episode?
Yeah, it was all right.
It was okay?
Yeah, I like Daggett. Daggett's a really cool character. I thought the henchmen were a bit weak.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like, even Batman was getting fucking annoyed by his day.
Yes.
Like when he's parked and he sees like the tram go by, he's like, oh, for fuck's sake. Oh. Like, and he's like looking at the clock like, all right, I'll go fucking deal with this then.
Can we not have crime in Crime Alley, please?
Yeah.
The animation I thought was excellent though. Like
it was.
As we pointed out, because we watched it together, very detailed backgrounds that were being panned across. Like I love any of those art deco backgrounds that were dark deco, as they call them. I love seeing those. So there was lots used in this episode.
Lots of good use of middle ground, foreground, and background. Like they had the rat in the foreground, the back car in the middle ground. And
the back car?
The back car. the back mobile. And then obviously Gotham is the backdrop. So anytime you have those three layers, this is just an art thing, but anytime you have those three layers, it always makes the best composition possible.
Yeah. Leslie Tompkins, what do you think of her as a character?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know that she's going to be in more episodes, and I think you've forgotten a lot of those episodes, and we'll obviously get to them, but
I'm still convinced that her and Thomas Wayne were getting it on.
I mean, that's a good theory. I wouldn't be surprised, but I like to think of Thomas Wayne as a bit more noble than that. Also, do you think Martha would be like...
Maybe she was a part of the sex dungeon that we already established with Thomas and Martha Wayne.
In Mask of the Phantasm.
She was our unicorn. Oh, she was brilliant. She made both me and Martha an absolute fountain.
Leslie Humpkins, am I right?
There was no safe word with Leslie. It was just more.
She loved doing the doctor role play. She loved it.
Alfred got involved as well. Finger up the butt.
I managed to fit three, sir.
Where do you think I got this mustache from, sir?
Oh, God.
It's boo.
Oh, no. I've got to prep you for surgery. My only concern is how fearless she is walking the streets of Crime Alley. I know we kind of mentioned this, but she's such an old woman with no combat training. She's like, I'm not afraid, and putting on like her little fucking bonnet. Yeah.
She's like, I've lived here for years. I'm not afraid. And then she just gets kidnapped and is going to explode in a giant bomb. Like, wah, wah. Way to fuck it up, Leslie.
The music. We both like the music in this episode. Yes. What did you think?
Great music. But only because you used to play it all the time when you first moved back to this country. And all the time I just hear, like, you in the shower and going like,
it's also like, I think it brings this episode up a notch. Like, it adds such a great layer to it. Like, the ambiance of the whole episode with those lovely backgrounds and the music is just for this episode. We won't hear this theme ever again. And it's a really hummable theme. I think, because I asked you what you thought of this episode. I was surprised at how, even though it was a kind of not a throwaway episode, but no, there's no major villain, there's nothing that this big happens, it's a day in the life of Batman, I get it, it was elevated for me to a point where I'm like, oh, I actually quite like it. It's not gonna make my top three, but I think it's a good episode.
I think that something like The Clock King was so much better for me personally.
Really,
the story of a guy who like has been like so poignant about like being on time, and just someone just to say let loose, and then it becomes the worst day of his life. It's just such a better story for me personally than an old lady that's going to explode.
Yeah, and a day in the life of Batman. Yeah. I thought it was funny that Daggett needed an explosion demonstration on a mini model first. Like, does he not believe that a man named Nitro knows how to blow up a whole fucking city? I thought it was really funny how he was like, okay, now I get it.
Like, he's like, well, we're going to need about 6 months for the model maker to build an accurate Gotham City.
Alfred says that Bruce has never been late in all those years for his 8 o'clock appointment in laying down the roses for his parents in Crime Alley. But what about when he was traveling around the world training to be Batman? Surely he wasn't like...
Maybe he sent Alfred to do it.
Oh, that's really nice. Oh, I like that. That's the only time Alfred ever hears
from him. Alfred just never did it. Like, you did that, right, Alfred? I check, it's 8 o'clock. Yes, I'm there right now. Out the way. Oh, Crime Alley is very busy today, sir. He's got his feet up on the sofa, like, watching cartoons. He's like, meep, meep. He's like, was that the Roadrunner I just heard, Alfred? No, just a cab. A classic Crime Alley cab.
Oh, that's the doorbell. I mean, that was another car horn. My Uber Eats is here.
Someone else's door is just down the road. Oh, these roses smell delicious. And he's, like, sniffing his takeout, like, oh, yeah. The best years of my life was when you were training, sir. It was just me dicking about in Way Manor, getting high, hanging out, eating apps.
Eating apps.
I didn't clean once. It was a shit pit, sir.
You had to come back and fucking ruin my good time.
Gotham came and filled an episode of Hoarders. Cleaned it up.
Orders for Wayne Manor.
This man went through a tragedy when the people he looked after tragically died in Crime Alley, and now he shits in a bucket on every floor of Wayne Manor.
They find all the dead cats from that Scarecrow episode underneath the sofas and stuff.
I didn't know they were there. Mummified cats.
Oh, God. Oh. So, except for... the scene where Batman almost runs over a little girl, he does a pretty good job in the Batmobile in this. He drives like a maniac in this fucking episode. Yeah,
Crime Alley, baby, it's in the name.
What do you think of the mob shakedown scene with the little girl's mum and Batman taking them out in the dark?
It was good, but like, I was thinking like, oh, there'll be a scene later on where Bruce Wayne like pays for the broken fucking window that he caused and the smashing of the lamp and the breaking of the table and everything that happened in that room. But he just bounced. So she's like, great. So now I'm being shut down by the mob and there's a huge fucking hole in the side of my house. Thanks, Batman.
Hey, look, you had your chance to leave.
Just get a job. Jesus Christ. Why are you living in Crime Alley?
Well, this is my point. Like, I know Daggett's plan is illegal, and obviously he's like putting people in danger and planning to not really care if he blows them up or not. That's not okay. But Daggett is trying to improve the city. Because he wants to put in like a mall and he wants to give like jobs and stuff like that. I know how he went about it is wrong, but I know a fucking billionaire in Gotham who should be donating millions to restore Crime Alley into its prime, which we saw in this episode. And also, that's where his parents died. So you think he'd be like, to stop anyone else from being mugged or murdered in Crime Alley, let's restore it to its original fucking make.
Bruce Wayne is like, you know, he's an absolute hero, Batman, but he's like a super classist. He's like, oh, God, they deserve Crime Alley. It reflects the people that live there.
I thought it'd be funny after Batman asked the mum, what do you mean they warned you to clear out, that he realizes that they're just squatters and they actually have been given proper notice. And he's like, look, I respect property law, right?
Yeah, yeah. Wait, you owe them money? You're past due? That's fucked up.
You're going to jail. Yeah. Puts her in the Batmobile. The little girl's like, you're supposed to save my mum.
Take you to an orphanage.
Leslie really gives the bad guys no choice but to kidnap her as well. She confronts him, and instead of like spying on them and maybe like sneaking to find Batman, because she knows she's meeting him in like 10 minutes, she's like, you work for Daggett. And then like sees all the explosions and says like, oh my gracious, or something. Like, obviously you're going to get fucking kidnapped at that point. You've like given the game away.
She looks around, she's like, whoopsie. Wrong place, wrong time.
The homeless guy that sees Leslie get kidnapped is you in another life.
That's me still listening to Fish, getting high, living in America, no job, homeless in Crime Alley. Like, did you see Trey recently? Like, fucking.
Did you see Trey? He's been living in the street.
He's been riffing it.
Oh my God. Batman is very much out in the public in this episode as well. He just like walks into the SWAT huddle. And at one point he gets out of the car and like talks to Leslie's co-worker, and he's just standing on the pavement, which you said looked really tall. The pavement looked like it was,
yeah,
like 3 feet.
If you look
up,
like, it's over halfway of the Batmobile's wheels. And I know, yeah, that it's a low fucking rider, but like,
Crime Alley's got some.
If a child
pavement
falls off their pavement, they're gonna scrape their fucking knees, if not way worse.
Or lose their parents.
How'd you lose your parents? They walked off the sidewalk into the road. Car coming? No.
It's a 5 foot drop. It's funny how Batman tells the SWAT team to wait because the hostage might get hurt. Then seconds later, he's like being shot at by the kidnapper, and like so much so that the platform gives way and the hostage almost falls to his death. Like, just let the SWAT team take care of it, because they could have just sharpshooted the guy and then taken him out, and the hostage would have been fine.
Batman micromanages every situation in this whole thing.
He does, yeah. My love that Batman moment is when he's on top of the giant billboard and he's like, put the gun down. He's like in the shadows. I think that's definitely the best bit of the way he looks is really cool. Batman was like a magician. I asked you if you noticed this, because when he dropped down from grabbing the sniper and the hostage, he jumps in front of the SWAT team and it looks like it's just Batman with his cape. And then he opens up his cape and there's two people underneath.
Well, he trained with Zatanna and all of them, so.
I know, it'd be funny if he kept on pulling back his cape and he's just like, is this your car?
Alfred's there, hello, Sam.
Yeah. Oh, what's this coin doing behind your ear?
Leslie's there, just like, I got out of that situation. The Joker, get back in there.
Ta-da! So, what do you think of Batman looking at the photo album, the memory like scene where you kind of understand it's, how Leslie's, yeah, connected?
It's a bit ham-fisted of like showing, you know, the news, exactly what happened, yeah, but it was necessary exposition.
I did think it was funny though, because Batman's looking through it and it's like Leslie's backstory, and he's like, oh, this is nice, like learning how she became such like a well-acclaimed doctor and prestigious and stuff. And then suddenly it's just like, family slain in the streets, young boy witnesses, and his face is kind of like, why have you put this shit in here? Like, why are you fucking triggering me?
A huge part of her life. She loves Thomas, you know, the love of her life, murdered.
I did like that.
And a nice picture of her hugging her true son.
Oh, I mean, I did like that photograph. I thought that was really sweet, like comforting Bruce after losing his parents. Like, that makes you realize how close she is with them.
She's like, oh, Bruce, go live with Alfred.
Your dad's dead, I'm out.
Yeah.
That scene was ruined, by the way, because the homeless guy was just pushing his face up against the window and spying on.
So funny, just like you're having this big nostalgia trip and then there's just a homeless man like, peered up with his nose pressing against the window. Like, Like, if it was Always Sunny, he'd be wanking as well.
If he, like, he could give Batman lessons, he appeared so suddenly. Yeah, you know?
Batman's like, holy shit! Did you train under the League of Shadows?
So that's what that feels like.
I enjoyed the runaway tram scene, although I didn't know Gotham was set up like San Francisco.
That was like Spider-Man with the train. Like, it was so... Even Batman, when he was like, oh, for fuck's sake. I was like that too. I was like, this is an unnecessary scene in this, right? Like,
this is just filling out the 20 minutes.
We could have padded more Daggett and like, more cool stuff, more Alfred. Like, a runaway... Like, do you think it was because they were like, this episode's good, but... There's no major action scene in this. We need something to entertain, like, children or something like that. So
they kept on having to show, like, again, it's the day in the life, but it was just all these little crimes. And I would rather it be another hostage situation or, like, I don't know, a robbery.
Yeah,
a
runaway make Crime Alley more like, real and visceral. Yeah. A runaway tram, and it made it like Gotham was like San Francisco as well.
Yeah, it's weird. What I didn't understand, too, is why the driver was unconscious at the wheel.
Yeah, I missed that as well.
They never explain it. Watching it again with you.
So, he's so overworked in Crime Alley that he's just out.
Or he's got asleep. Like narcolepsy or something like that.
Well, he shouldn't be a tram driver then.
Well, Crime Alley, you need him. It's hilarious that the spoilers at the back of the Batmobile turn upright so they don't get crushed. Like, I thought that was such a specific thing for the Batmobile to have. Like, Batman's like, well, I should have that in case I need to stop a runaway tram.
I thought he would have, like, shoved the horns into it to stop it.
Yeah, but I guess he doesn't want to ruin his spoilers, you know? He's just
up Lucius and you fix it up.
Yeah. It was like a battering ram, I guess. But after Batman stops the trolley, he gets out in front of the crowd in the streets and he aims his grapple gun at a street lamp, which is only like 5 foot above their heads. And like, where's he going to go? I was watching him and I was like, it cut to him just going off screen, so you don't actually see. But I thought it'd be so funny if he just went up to the top of the street lamp and everyone in the street's like, well, I'm just going to look up now. Like, I can still see
you. Look.
So Batman interrogates Crocker and Nitro and discovers Daggett's plan and saves Leslie. And he makes sure that everybody that was in danger is out before the explosion happens. And I was I was surprised that some bombs went off.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was... I like, as you said, that Daggett got away with it at the end. Like, I did think it was weird when he was confronted by Batman. Batman was just kind of, like, walking with a large group of people towards them. Like, again, it was weird that Batman revealed himself so much in this episode. Like, I know in The Clock King he was in daylight, which was weird. But in this one, he's just, like, hopping out of the Batmobile every 5 seconds. And I thought he was more of a mystery to Gotham, not just kind of like,
no, he was,
I'm here today.
Yeah, he was full on like, I am the superhero.
Yeah. So it's implied Daggett gets away with it because his goons won't talk. But they sounded like they were ready to crack. Like, they're like, Mr. Daggett, you told us. And he's like, take him away. And I was thinking, those guys are definitely going to be like, so here's the receipts. Like, here's the mini model that we blew up.
They could easily be like, we will get off for this if we give up
a
much bigger person. But then again, they'd still have to prove it. Like, it's his word against theirs. Unless there's like recorded evidence of everything. Like, I'm sure Daggett Amelia was like, get rid of that fucking model. Like, get rid of like all of this stuff. Like, gone.
Yeah. And then finally, this episode has a solid ending, I think. Batman lays down the roses with Leslie to remember his parents. And as Leslie hugs him, it cuts to the picture of her hugging a young Bruce the night he lost his parents. And I thought that was a nice little touch for the end. I guess it makes Bruce Timm cry as well.
Loser.
Okay, so that's the end.
I'm joking there, people. I'm joking.
That's the end of the episode. Does it make your top three?
No,
it doesn't make top three.
I'd rather rewatch Batman in my basement, to be honest, because that's just fun.
This is
not
really
a very fun episode.
No, it was a very serious kind of like.
It's like Batman doing admin work in Gotham. Like, oh, for fuck.
As I
what
said,
am
the
I
Arkham
now?
Games, right, where you're like, oh, I've got to fucking stop this mugger, and I've got to do this. Yeah,
and like maybe if it was new information to me about like how his parents were killed, Crime Alley. Leslie, if that was all new information to me, maybe I'd be more invested in it.
Right.
But since I fucking know the Batman story to death, it was just like another...
Yeah, I guess they were introducing this character and being like, hey, you don't know this character is connected to Bruce's past. But yeah, it's still not enough to make it like really good. I know there's a lot of people out there that actually really like this episode, and I think it's because...
It's not bad.
It's a street-level crime Batman episode, and it's kind of... it's more focused on Batman and obviously the loss of his parents. But Man, I miss like a criminal. I miss like a supervillain. That's what I missed in this. I wanted a supervillain.
Yeah, but then there's other episodes like the two mob bosses when like his brother lost his leg and all that stuff. Yeah. Like that's fantastic stuff without a supervillain. Like,
yeah.
I love that type of stuff. That's just a really well told story.
Maybe you needed more because
I just don't think it's a very good story.
Daggett's not really mafia, is he? He's like he's a corrupt businessman. Mm. He's not Thorne. Like, if it was Thorne maybe doing this and it was, like, more connected with the mob, that could have made it cooler. But, yeah, it's not a bad episode.
The stakes felt very low.
Yeah. All right, our next episode that we're going to review is Mad as a Hatter, which is the first appearance of Mad Hatter. Speaking of supervillains, he's definitely one that I would call a supervillain for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite looking forward to seeing it again because I haven't seen it in a very long time.
One of my favorite Batman the Animated Series episodes is a Mad Hatter episode where he... is tricking Bruce in his sleep. It's just one of the best.
Yeah, it's really good. Perchance to Dream.
Yeah.
I've just seen Bud on our Instagram because I've done this new kind of game where I've taken the titles of the episodes away and it's guess the name of the episode from the title card. The episode, the first one, is Appointment in Crime Alley and I removed the title and someone has just commented saying Appointment in Crime Alley is one of my favorite episodes. Great music too. And again, like I said to you, this episode is kind of like a sleeper hit, I think, for a lot of people. And we enjoyed it. It's not one of our favorites, and that doesn't mean that it takes away from, you know, what other people think.
Of course. Look, I always say, my tastes are not law. Like, if you enjoy something, that's great. Like, art is completely subjective. So
yeah.
If it's one of your favorite Batman the Animated Series, that's fine.
We liked I Got Batman in My Basement. Yeah. So
if you like the Star Wars sequel saga as your favorite Star Wars, that's fine.
You're wrong.
No.
You're not wrong about Crime Alley. Like, I get it. It's a very different episode for this show. And I think that resonates with a lot of people. I know there's other listeners. I think one of our listeners, Rob Ayling, really likes it and was looking forward to our review. So, Rob, if you're listening, sorry if we let you down, bud. But we enjoyed it. Just not one of the ones that we were like, wow, that was really good. Mm. I could definitely watch that again. But are you ready to answer quiz questions about this episode?
I am.
All right, we're going to do Riddle Me This, Will I Am.
Focus! Focus! Focus!
But you'll still have to answer the riddle.
I can't believe it's luck.
Oh, darn. Now there's a riddle for you.
A lucky guess, that's all.
Now, no sore losers.
This is a game I play with my brother where I ask him three questions on the episode we just watched to make sure he was paying attention. Feel free to play along at home or in your car or wherever you are. Question one.
Having sex.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone's fucked while listening to Batman the Animated Series podcast?
If you have, please write in because yeah. I want to know.
You like laugh in the middle of like a joke. I think it would be so weird if you're about to finish and then something happens that makes you crack up. What would happen if you're like cracking up laughing but coming at the same time?
You just said coming to me and I'm in person with you. So you looked me dead in the eye and went, coming?
Do you end up being like, oh, and then just like, oh.
With my laugh as well, I feel bad for anyone that's going to fucking bust to that.
Anyway, back to the game.
Get to the game. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, question one. What is Crime Alley's actual street name?
Oh, the it's a classic like name of a part of a city. The
Begins with a P.
It's not the projects.
No.
The Peak District.
No. It's just. There's no the. It's. Yeah, keep on peeing your face off. Even your dog's getting annoyed at you now. Oh, do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
It's Park Row.
Park Row.
Or Park Ave. Question two. What is Nitro's plan to make the explosion look like an accident?
Gas through a gas line.
Correct.
Sewers.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's an old gas line that runs under the entire block.
Could you imagine, like, you know how heavy a sewer grate is, like a sewer cover?
Mm.
The fact that, like, sometimes gas can push one of those up.
That's a lot of
that's
gas.
That's crazy.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people in the city, you know?
Oh, no, it's not gas from people's arses.
I know, I just thought, as I said that, I was like, well, they're not farting so much that they're making
10,000 Gothamites farted at the same time as they flushed the toilet.
Batman's greatest challenge.
Killer Croc's in the sewer like, oh my god!
Oh. Question three. What time is the explosion set for?
9 o'clock.
Correct. So you got 2 out of 3 there. Well done. Oh, there's the little pitter-patter of your dog's feet. Yes,
little bat dog is
again,
here.
Again, if anybody hears background noises, apologies. Yeah. This is not our usual surround sound.
No, little baby girl. Should we get her on the microphone? Come here.
Do you want to try and get her on the mic? All right, let's see.
Try and get you to stop. Ah, yes. Oh, yeah, what's that? Oh, there's crime out there, isn't there?
She's a little crime alley herself.
Almost not.
Hello. Okay. Oh, now I've got a friend. Okay. We're going into our next category, which is Ace the Bat Sound.
Now, Ace the Bat Hound down here.
Oh, that's why I called it this game.
Can you imagine if, like, Batman, like, his dog of choice was a French bulldog? She'll sniff out crime. No.
Ears are very bat-like.
They are. There's going to be a lot of noises now. My dog's having fun.
She's awake now. Okay, this is a game that we play with you, the listener. Each week I'll play a brief music clip from the show, and you have to guess who the character is or the title of the episode that the music belongs to. Baba! You chill the fuck out.
Don't tell her off.
The answer to each clip will be revealed in the following episode. So last week, or last year, we had this music clip.
I haven't listened to Batman the Animated Series since last year.
And if you still don't know, here's a clue of a voice clip from that episode.
Selina. What have you done to her?
I've made her what she always wanted to be. I've given her power and grace beyond her wildest dreams.
You've made her a monster.
I believe she would disagree. You can't even begin to imagine how it is for her. A whole new state of being, heightened senses, increased speed, agility, strength.
All right, bud. I've given you 2 times you basically guessed the answer of this episode. All I'll say to you is Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
What?
Oh my God, have you really forgotten?
Kung Pao Enter the Fist?
Yes, the movie.
Yeah.
There is a phrase in
Kung Pao. Tiger, tiger.
Yeah. Well done.
Birdie.
It's from the episode Tiger, Tiger.
I'm just a birdie too.
Imagine that's what Batman said to the tiger in that episode. Tiger, tiger. And here's the musical clip for next week's episode where you'll have to name the episode that the music is from. All right, I won't say anything besides this episode has to do with the sewers as well. Any guesses?
Killer Croc.
No, incorrect. You have to wait until next week. No, don't say anything else because I have to bleep it out. All right. Okay, now you've got mail.
Oh, by the way, this came for you an hour ago by messenger.
You've got mail.
Thank you, Alfred.
This is where I take all of your comments, emails, messages, and especially podcast reviews and read them out on the pod. You have one this week, don't you?
Mm.
Do you want to pull that up whilst I read some others?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me get my glasses.
Now, if I read the others whilst you're not going to listen, are you? Because you are a one-track... You're a one-trick pony. Like, if you have...
I'm very good at multitasking.
Okay, so I'm going to read out our first review. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is from Stark2784. We've got Best Podcast as the title, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. So thank you so much, Stark. Stark has said, I'm a big Batman fan and I was looking for other content on Batman. I came across your podcast and instantly became hooked. Thank you so much for leaving us a 5-star review, Stark. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. I wasn't
you,
listening.
You weren't listening. I knew it. I fucking knew it. Thank you, Stark, for leaving a 5-star review. Just parrot it.
Oh, Stark, that's very kind. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Then we got Levi on TikTok. Levi has said this was posted last year, at the end of last year. Levi said, this podcast has been one of the best things to happen this year, so I wish you all a very happy new year.
Ah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Levi. All right, you got yours up?
Yes, on my most recent YouTube video, which was This Got Me Hired by Marvel Comics, I think it's called, or something like that. Clickbait title, you know, I don't know what I'm doing on YouTube. from at Magic for Wise Guys, he said, your 3-part interview on STAS Pod, which is Spider-Man the Animated Series podcast, is one of the most inspirational things I've listened to, even though I do not want to work in comics. It showed me that I could do anything I wanted if I was willing to put enough work and time into it. I don't know what it was about your interview that made it different from the rest, but there was something special about hearing you talk about how hard it was and how much work you put in. So I'd like to say thank you and your brother for making me follow my dreams to become a professional entertainer slash magician. And it's amazing to see the art that you got into Marvel. So that's incredible to think that someone out there listened to us dicking around talking about my
journey
to then be inspired to pursue their dreams. I mean, that's great.
That's awesome. I think that was kind of what we had in mind. Obviously, that was very early days we did those episodes. Mm. That's 3-parter. I know, like, it was definitely within the first 6 months when we started that podcast many years ago. But I think we did that because you were inspired by when it was Fat Man on Batman.
Yeah.
By Greg Capullo's interview and also by Jim Lee's.
Yeah.
And hearing about their journey and how hard they worked and what they had to do. And granted, you're not trying to do the exact same thing and be like, I'm Jim Lee and I want to tell my story.
Yeah.
But
I'm not Jim Lee or Greg Capullo.
Yeah. But you were still like, hey, I've got my own story and my own journey. And, you know, I'd like to share it. And it was one of those things where it's like, if someone's inspired by it, great. And turns out many years later, someone has been. And that's awesome that that made him pursue his dream. So that's really cool. Thank you for writing that in. What was his name? Thank you very much.
It was at Magic for Wise Guys. And it's got like a little icon of the Godfather.
Thank you, at Magic for Wise Guys. Do you think he does like his magicians only?
Take
at,
a look
like,
at these cards. Yeah. Choose a fucking card. It's called magic, Tony. You choose a card, and they tell you what the card is.
Tone, I'm down here at the fucking magic shop, and I've just seen that there's a card that I fucking chose, and they showed it to me.
They showed me the card I chose, Tone. It blew my fucking mind.
You better not be fucking using magic on me. Now we've got, this is a tough one to say, so bear with me, because it's a big old YouTube name, which is Mathis Das Effena... Af the Candy 246.
Sounds a bit German. Mathis dot Effener of the Candy.
Mathis dot Effener the Candy, 2468.
Oh, I love the candy.
On YouTube says, I'm new and just found this channel and I love this style of video. Thank you so much. That's on our video reviews, which you can go check out at Batman TAS Pod.
Yeah, done some good editing on those.
Thank you so much. And then finally, we got an email from a listener, Stan Warren, who says, hey guys, love the pod. Your insights into BTAS are really great, but my favorite thing is when you go off on funny tangents like Gimp Man, Alfred's collection of cats, or Clock King monitoring your bathroom habits.
That's my favorite part of the podcast as well.
Which leads me to my question. If you had any room in Wayne Manor to yourself, what would you do in it, and which room are you choosing? I thought that was a pretty fun question.
I'd like a nice garden view, not front, back garden.
Back garden, okay.
Yeah, I like nature, so I like to look at trees and little birds flying.
Now,
by.
Is it a bedroom? Is it a living room? Is it a games room?
I like to be on an upper floor and looking down at stuff.
Yeah, okay, so like a bedroom then.
Yeah.
Yeah, study.
And it would be a billiards room with a bar.
That sounds fun. I think I would definitely choose a bedroom and I'd try and fuck in it so I can say that I fucked in Wayne Manor.
Well, that's just you.
Or I would choose to study and...
I'd be studying some major ass.
Yeah, I would be studying some major ass up against the grandfather clock and then suddenly open the entrance to the Batcave.
And you finish like goo.
While she was opening up her entrance to the Batcave. Oh my god.
The bats are in the belfry.
And if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to leave us a 5-star review on whatever you're listening to us on right now, as it helps us back grapple up the charts and attract both new listeners and guests. And if you leave a review, we might read it out on the pod at the end of each episode. And please subscribe or follow us on your preferred podcast platform of choice if you haven't yet already. Also, you can follow us on social media at BatmanTASPod on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere. But the app formerly known as Twitter, which is at BatmanTASPod1, and that's because why?
Because we are the number one Batman, the animated series podcast.
You're goddamn right. And in the description of this episode, you'll find a tip jar where you can gift us any amount of money you can afford to give, if you so wish. As we aren't billionaire playboy philanthropists, any amount you can afford to give us is not necessary, but always greatly appreciated. And finally, you can follow me everywhere at Chef Alex Robson, and you can follow Will on his socials, stay up to date on what he's working on, and get a glimpse into the white day of a comic book artist and lighter. Will, where can our listeners find you?
Anywhere at Robson Inc., and that's Robson INK, or you can go to my website, speechcomics.com, or join me over on Patreon, which I'm sure is just my name or something like that. I don't know.
Link's in the description below.
It's on my Twitter. There's the pinned tweet, so go there.
Goddamn right. All right. Final category of the day is what you're putting in your holes. Now, it's been a while since we chatted. What have you been stuffing in your New Year's holes?
I've watched a ton of Hitchcock catalog and big heavy hitters that I'd never seen before.
Yep.
That I was kind of disappointed by.
Like what?
I saw Vertigo, which at first, the first two acts, I was like, what is this movie? Like, this is not very good.
Yeah.
And then the twist happens at the end where I'm like, all right. And then... you're kind of just waiting for it to end.
Sure.
I don't know why that movie's rated it. Like, I think when I think Hitchcock, I usually think Psycho, Rear Window, and Vertigo as like the top three. Mm. I was not impressed by that movie at all.
Well, and also, when you watch this as well, the
North by Northwest, which yeah, was not one. Good as well.
Yeah, it was. That's another one where it's okay. Like, it does a lot for the spy genre in the sense of...
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, kind of the tropes that were created.
But I'm not into the spy genre.
Yeah, and but also now viewing it much later, it just... I don't know. I know what you mean. It just feels a bit lackluster.
Yeah, compared to, like, Strangers on a Train that I watched, which was brilliant. I showed my wife Rope, which is my favorite Hitchcock.
Still not seen that. I need to watch that.
Which was also fantastic on a rewatch. Strangers on the Train was like the standout new Hitchcock that I saw. I was like, ah, this is good. Oh, and also The Man Who Knew Too Much. That was a good film as well.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that.
But they are, what's his name, the director that came on the show? Alan?
Burnett.
Absolutely see what he was saying, why they were inspired by Hitchcock. And you watch any of these movies and it's so Batman the Animated Series in vibe. So, yeah, I've been watching that. I played a little bit of... the Spider-Man and Miles Morales game during Christmas, because that game is set at Christmas. But then I kind of petered out from it because the voice...
Petered!
Hey, he's not really in it, though.
Oh, right. It's called Miles Morales.
So the voice acting and writing in that game is so fucking bad. And it was just ruining it for me. Like, I lost interest. And, like, there was, like, who is this mystery character? I'm like, it's the girl that he's been hanging out with this whole time. And it was. So I was like, ooh. Cool, like, so I turned that off.
Spoilers.
Whatever. It's been out for years. And then besides that, I've just been not watching much. I've started watching Big Mouth, which is always a good fun, even though it's just so much like sexual content at once.
It's crazy. Mind that show.
I love Big Mouth.
I've watched most of it.
Yeah,
I think I watched the latest season.
I watched a couple of episodes of Invincible yesterday, season 2.
Ooh, what do you think?
It's all right.
You think it's just all right?
Yeah.
I think it's still really good.
Yeah, it's good, but it's not getting me like, oh, yeah. I'm still watching some Fear the Walking Dead, which is just, like...
boring!
It's like it's cafeteria pizza.
What a fucking loser.
I'm a sucker for zombies, what can I say?
Yeah, you are.
And then I've also bought a bunch of, like, really dark horror movies that I haven't watched yet, like the Terrifier series, and then, like, Fright Night, which I've never seen before, and a bunch of others that I was going to watch because my wife's away right now. I was going to sit down and watch them, but at night when I'm done with work, I haven't wanted to be like, hey, I want to watch this scarring, like, graphic movie.
Yeah, like, too much. Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been watching Sopranos again because it was the 25th year anniversary, and you bought the whole series because it was on sale, so I've been dipping into that. I'm already on series 4. Been binging that.
We've been seeing it on our Apple how you've been plowing.
I've been plowing, and it's just such a good show. I love that show so much.
Fargo I've been watching, which has just been brilliant.
Hell yeah. Are you up to date?
Yeah.
It's been that last episode.
Something happened in the last episode that I was not happy about, which was a bit of a plot inconvenience, but...
Well, spoiler alert. What happened?
She escapes being captured, right?
Yeah.
And then she goes and hides in a hole.
Yeah.
And then the guy goes to her and he's like, oh, let's see what the tiger's free.
Yeah.
But she already freed herself. So it was like a repeat. I think that he should have found her tied up
in the
house and then been like, take the chain off and been like, now the tiger is free.
Yeah, that would have been way more powerful. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I wonder if it was because they wanted to establish that she can take care of herself on her own.
That's what my wife said. And it's true. But
it's true, because she is.
But then why would she be in a hole holding up a bone? And also, she had a gun. Why didn't she bring the gun down?
That's what I said. I was like, you left the fucking gun.
Yes, and the fact that he gives her the gun again, he's like, now you're free. It's like, you were free.
Yeah, and you were basically, you made a mistake.
But man, what a season. Like, so good.
So good.
Jon Hamm's been brilliant.
Yep.
His son is still my favorite actor in the whole thing. And God, they did some fucked up shit in the most recent episode.
Honestly, when he got, this is, again, spoilers, folks. Like, if you haven't seen it, then skip ahead by a couple minutes. When he left his son there in the fog, blind, where he's like, you're no good to me now. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's so dirty. And
And all he said was, what's wrong with his eyes? No, what's going on with his eyes?
Yes.
He didn't even check on his son.
Are you definitely blind? Which he is. But I thought for sure that, because the next episode is the last one of the season, that there's no question that Gator is going to kill Jon Hamm. He's going to kill his dad. There has to be.
You think so?
I think that's definitely going to happen.
Me and my wife said, the son, Jon Hamm is so powerful, but the one thing he overlooks is the actions of his son.
Yes.
So I thought the actions of his son will be his downfall. So yeah, I think.
He thinks that his son is now useless and it's going to be his downfall and it's going to end up being his death.
What I really liked about Jon Hamm in this episode was he's like, I don't feel anything for anybody except for that woman.
Yes.
And it really showed in this episode because his wife, current wife, the mother of his children was knocked out on the floor and he looked at her and then moved on.
Didn't even check on her.
His son is missing his fucking eyeballs.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, you're no good to me now. But for some reason, this woman is the only thing he's ever cared about.
Because it's such a good season of TV.
Because
she obviously is someone that can't be controlled. And that's what's shaken him. That's what's taken him to the edge. Well, I think so. Because look at all the other women in his life. He's controlled every other single woman in his life. And if they've acted out of line, he's put them in the ground or put them in their place.
Yeah.
This one continues to escape him and continues to contradict him. I thought it was really good. I think it's the best series of Fargo since series 1, for no doubt in my mind. I haven't seen the full series, so I can't judge that, but I still think this one's
gotten the Fargo back on track.
It's better than the third and second by far.
I like the third better than this one, but it's
really great. Yeah. Anyway, we're going back
that,
and forth.
That character when he's like sick after every meal and like he's such a good villain. And also not only
Lupin.
That,
yeah. Out for a little walk in the moonlight.
But not only that, but Obi-Wan Kenobi is excellent in both those roles.
And we can't remember Obi-Wan Kenobi, any of these actors' names. We're just Harry Potter, Star Wars.
And Obi-Wan Kenobi's future wife is in it, and she's brilliant in it too.
Oh, your dog. What's happened? Oh, that was just a...
She's just playing.
Just being a dog.
It's so funny to me, these are sounds I hear throughout my life constantly. And when someone hasn't heard my dog make noises in a while, they're like, is she dying? Is she choking?
She did just sound like she threw up there.
No, she's just breathing.
Just breathing. And then I've been watching Gavin and Stacey, which is a super old show, and I won't go into it in detail, but my girlfriend got me into that, and that's been... It's an okay show. Like, I've enjoyed it, but it took me a while to get into it, and it's a bit dated. And then finally, we both watched this movie. We both watched Saltburn.
Yeah, it was fucking brilliant.
It was so good. I loved it. I thought it was, like a film where it's like, this isn't a franchise. This isn't like some sort of like indie movie. It's just a movie.
It felt like an indie movie though.
But it was, I don't know, like the caliber of actor in it wasn't indie.
The aspect ratio was wanky.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that. I don't know why.
Completely unnecessary.
I know, but it was still very good.
It was shot extremely well. It was acted very well, very well written. And I have the, you better get in the groove stuck in my head.
Oh, yeah.
It
you want to dance around your house naked and listen to that
one? Yeah. I'm with my dog like, there's party on the dance floor.
It's murder on the dance floor. That's the...
My wiener around like a helicopter.
tiniest helicopter blades in the world.
Can't even hear the sound of them going around. It's more my nuts swinging around. Yeah, great film. It was... You recommended it to me, but it was all over fucking social media.
Yes.
It was like, it's like a TikTok, like young people love this movie.
Yeah, and you just see emojis for the scenes that stand out, like the bathtub scene.
Yeah. I don't care about all that. The thing I liked about this movie was I love villains, and this movie was just purely about a villain.
Mm.
And a villain essentially succeeding in their villainous ways.
Yes.
And that type of content to me is great. Like, give me a Joker movie where Joker wins at the end of it. Like, that's...
Or, like, Roland Dagger getting away with it. Exactly. Episode,
yeah,
right?
But, like, I mean, in a better way.
Yeah, more justified,
like,
I know.
I like it. Like, it's that sinister shit is just... I love dark stuff, so it's good.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And that's all I've really been putting in my hole is there's, like, not much else. Just been kind of getting back into the swing of things. Now we got the new year.
I watched Payback with my wife.
What, Mel Gibson?
Yep.
I watched that recently. Did you like it? Did it still
hold
up? I did,
but it wasn't as good as I remembered. It was very dated. Like,
it was dated.
Women are women. And
yeah.
I only use them to fuck, and then men are just guys that
plug you.
Fucking do drugs and fucking smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was very old school machismo.
It's basically Max Payne before Max Payne, right? Like,
no, not at all.
You don't think so? No.
Max Payne is another version of The Punisher. His family gets killed and he goes on like a shooting rampage.
Oh, I don't know who Max Payne is then.
No, you don't.
And with that, we'll end the podcast. That's all the time we've got for this week. Join us next time where we'll continue talking all things Batman, the animated series. Until then, I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Will Robson.
And remember that we are Vengeance. We are the Night. We are a podcast.
Bye-bye.
Doodles.
Three, two, one.
Poopy buttholes.
All right,
we're going.
We're going.
Okay. Let me just go in here. We're in the same room again.
No, brother. Gotta look you in the eye.
Ah, that's some good stuff. I'm drinking a beer again.
I'm having a fancy bourbon with half a lemon wedge squeezed, topped with ice. And filled with fizzy water. Ooh.
Gordon Ramsay, eat your heart out.
Well, he doesn't drink, does he?
No, actually, he doesn't. Fucking disgusting.
Drink your heart out, Gordon. I'm surprised you didn't try and buy a steak in Gordon's gin.
He said he didn't. I watched a video recently. He said
I watched the same video, yeah.
Yeah. Why are we talking about this? I know what I wanted to tell you. I can tell you about my horrible experience.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Whilst on holiday recently. So, you know, I went to this hotel.
Yeah.
And we got a really good rate. And the reason we got a good rate was to be pitched to about this hotel group's bigger opportunities that they can offer you, right? So it's kind of like, if you liked your stay here, which is debatable because our our bathtub was spewing up sewage.
Ew!
Yeah. We were laying in bed the first night and we heard like, go, 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 because the people in the next room were having a shower. And I was like,
or a poo
or whatever. And then came up and there was gunk in the bathtub.
Fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it's really gross.
So why did you even entertain this trip? Because it was so cheap.
It was so cheap. It was £75 for 3 nights, 4 days for the both of us.
Okay.
And it was a giant manor house converted into a hotel, and it's from 1610 or something like that. And
was
like,
it your first? Where did it was Cornwall, right?
No, Cotswolds.
Cotswolds. Oh, okay, the Cotswolds.
Yeah, yeah, and we've been there before. not to this location, but we've been there. So moment we arrived, he was like on us, like, do you want to do the meeting now? And we're like, we've just arrived. So no.
I'll take your bags and I'll come on.
It was like, and he's like, did you get my emails? Did you get this? Did you get that? And Kat's like, no, I've not. And he's like, oh, I knew that they didn't send them. And he was like,
give me your impersonation of their Americanism. Like, what's their accent?
It was, so he was from like the Midwest.
Okay.
And
not like, oh, hi there, Fargo.
No, it wasn't Fargo. It was more or less, it was just like, I don't know, it was a standard American accent. It wasn't really anything that like I could pick up on specifically. But he was just the worst type of salesman. You could tell he was like desperate to be like, buy, 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 now, now, now. And like being in sales most of my life, I could tell he was going by like the playbook of you need 7 points of contact before you get a sale, right?
It's like Michael Scott in The Office when he's like, there's nothing worse than a bad salesman pitching to a good salesman. It's like a bad basketball player pitching to a good basketball player.
So that's exactly what it was like. And that's why he was like, did you get my emails? Did you get my messages? Like, I think he was trying to count up those 7 points of contact. And I've not spoken to this guy at all. In fact, I've forgotten that we were being pitched to until we arrived. And Kat's like, this is the guy and he's going to do the pitch. And I was like, the what?
So did this guy just pitch to you and your girlfriend, or were there other people involved as well?
No, just us. He was, so basically everyone that was there on the deal was being pitched to separately, right?
So why? You think it would be like a big like conference room, you have a cup of tea and a scone? And
that then would have been way better. And Kat read online that if you do this, people had reviewed it and said the sales pitch is no pressure and like it's, you're not obligated, or they don't try and make you buy it. But in this scenario, that's not the fucking case. So he said, all right, let's do 10:30 tomorrow morning. And on the piece of paper he gave us, it said 4:30 p.m. So we're like, well, we scheduled for 4:30. Are you sure you want to do 10:30? He's like, if you can do 10:30, let's do it. So we're like, all right, fine, whatever. Have breakfast. We're waiting. They call him because he's 15 minutes late. And he like basically sped to us from wherever he was staying. And like came in and he's just like, I thought we were doing 4:30. And I'm like, you said 10:30, mate. So we're already off to a bad start.
That's not good.
We go up into this room and there's two other guys in there. They're both American as well. And this one guy.
Age?
So one guy was young. The guy who was pitching to us was probably like mid-50s.
Okay.
And this other guy that was there that I could only tell you, I called him Harvey Weinstein because I didn't remember his fucking name and he looked like Harvey Weinstein.
It could have been him.
It could have been him.
And he's escaped the Cotswolds and he's trying to sell a timeshare.
So the guy pitching us was like, we have the pleasure of having Harvey Weinstein. here today because he's like, he's been in the business for ages and he's going to like kind of help out in the pitch. So I was thinking, right, he doesn't trust you. You're obviously not doing your job. Mm. And he's like, I'm going to fucking make these people buy everything.
Or a watch how it's done and then you can go take over.
Kind of like that. But we sit down, we have a whole computer presentation and he's like, we're so-and-so company and we own all these properties around the world and you can come and have this spa experience and stay in all these locations and we're not going to pitch you on a membership. So I was like, right, okay. But what we are going to pitch you on is a package deal that you can take advantage of. And 90% of the people that buy this package deal end up becoming members. And I'm thinking, how many people do you sell? Fucking two? Like, it was...
I'm a member, he's a member.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. So I sit down and the guy starts and then Harvey Weinstein butts in because he already doesn't like the way this guy started.
Oh, so he's like micromanaging up.
Yes, because the guy pitching us was like, do you travel with anybody else? And we're like, what do you mean? He's like, was it always you two? And this comes later into the package deal, which is why he was asking. But I was like, sometimes, but very rarely. It's mostly just us two. And he's like, okay, well, I'm still going to like run through everything and show you everything. Have you ever been to Italy? And I'm like, yep. Have you ever been to Africa? Yep.
Oh, no, we are very lucky because we have traveled the world a lot because it was a huge influence of our parents. Like, they love traveling. So, as children, we saw the fucking world, which was amazing. And we're very lucky for that. And we still, you know, we're quite privileged in that sense and we reap the benefits of it today.
We're very lucky. I agree.
So, you're saying that his pitch was based on, like, oh, the assumption that who he's talking to probably has not been to all of these places. And wow, if you come with me, you will see the world.
Yes, exactly.
Or, well, there must still, like, a good salesman would have must have a backup of, you know, it's like the classic when they flip through the book and they're reading, like, okay, if they say this, then go to page 12.
Yeah.
And this is the new spin.
I don't think they had that section of their little booklet. Because then it was like, yes, but you haven't experienced Italy like this. Ooh. And he's like, you could stay in this villa, which was all right. But he's like, it's a 12th century villa, and he was going into it. And I was thinking, I'm staying in a hotel that's, you know, however many years old, 500 years old, right? And it's got problems. Our fucking bathtub is being sick half the night.
That's disgusting.
With sewage. So I was like, it's lovely, but what, like, kind of like, let's cut to the chase, because he was filling it with fluff. He then started telling me about his upbringing with his parents. And that's when Harvey Weinstein stepped in, because he's like, this is nonsense. Like, no one fucking cares.
What was he saying then?
He was saying, like, well, my dad was a minister, and
never talk about religion if you're doing a sales pitch.
Yeah, and his...
You do not know people's religious affiliations.
And he's like, my mom was basically forced into a marriage with him. And I'm like, why are we being told this? And he's like, even though it was like an arranged marriage and everything, they still love each other and they've been together for years. And he's like, if your parents, like, if, because I told him I was very lucky as a kid and like my parents took me out.
He's like, and my mom's dead.
Well, basically, he's like, so what about your mom and dad? And I was like, well, my mom's dead.
He's like, flipping through the book, like, dead mom?
And my dad is basically 007. He travels the world every fucking minute of the day. So he was like, okay. And meanwhile, no one is pitching to Kat. They're all direct eye contact with me. And I noticed this.
You're like, she's the one with the job.
Yeah, she's the one who makes the fucking...
She found this holiday.
She found this fucking package. So Harvey Weinstein steps in and he keeps on like trying to like blow up. And also I tried their wine the night before and he's like, the wine in Italy, our wine is so good. I had a glass of their red and it was fucking dog shit. It was so bad that I was like, even with food, it's not very good. So I'm just not in the mood for all of
dear.
This.
Oh dear, it sounds like an awful time at the
Cotswolds.
I'm going
to take a drink of my delicious beer whilst I...
Oh, how frightened. The wine was terrible. Not like the wine I've had when I was in Florence. And I was, and I drove in my little boat across the lake and drinking
Lake Como, yeah.
I got into a Como myself because I drank so much delicious wine.
So Harvey Weinstein steps in, pitching directly to me. Standing up, we're all sitting down, but he's standing up and he's talking directly.
It's classic power move.
Yeah. And he's like, my daughter calls me a dinosaur because I'm old school, but like, I think there's no school like the old school, like throwing out these weird fucking slogans. So I'm like, this is just...
Do you think he was like, okay, this guy I'm pitching to has traveled. Maybe he's a conservative. So
maybe
I can lean into that. So how long are we into the pitch at this point? How long have you been sitting there?
45 minutes.
Fucking hell.
And I've said multiple times now, can we get to the part where, let's talk about why we're actually here. And they're like, we'll get there. It's kind of like, let me do my thing. And I was like, eventually I was like, okay, we're going to get there eventually. I'm stuck here. What am I supposed
to do? Could you imagine if I was there?
I honestly thought about you being there. I thought about our dad being there and how...
Me and my dad both have been going, nope, get to the pitch. Get to the pitch.
Shut up. So we finally get to the pitch where Harvey Weinstein lays down the package deals. There's three deals, yeah? The first one is £10,000 for...
It's so funny because it's like, I came here on a 75 quid trip.
Oh, yeah.
This is just like in Friends when Penn from Penn & Teller sells the encyclopedias to Joey. Yeah. And he's like, I'm home alone, like, on a weekday, and you think I have money for encyclopedias? Like, come on.
So the £10,000 deal is for four people to travel 41 days worth, and they can use it within a year, right?
That's a terrible deal.
Terrible deal, and especially because I'm thinking you're pitching to people that are in their 30s, that work for a living, and rarely can get away for more than a week out of the year, let alone 41 days. And so, also, I've got to bring two other people. I don't fucking know who I'm going to bring. And also, I don't have 10 grand.
Yeah, but it's $2,500 per head for 41 days of travel or something like that?
Yes.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's not that... I mean, the amount of days probably seems worth it, but all the locations I wasn't wowed by. And also, I don't want to have all these stipulations. Mm. And also then realize I've got to take 41 days worth of holiday with two other people within a year. Like, that's just not going to happen. I said to him, he laid out the first one, and he's like, that's the best one. And I'm thinking, yeah, fucking right it is. The second one was £7,000, and it was the same thing, except for you couldn't travel in the month of June. And the third one was $5,500, same thing, but for two people, and also you can't travel on Christmas and New Year's and the month of June. And he's like, don't worry about those. Let's, like, you know, the 10 grand, that's the best bang for your buck, and like all of these fucking stupid sales pitches. And then he did this, like, slammed his hand down on the desk. He's like, so which one are you going for? And I went, none of them. And he went, why?
Oh, the joy I would have had of being like, none of that.
I said, none of them. And he went, why? And I went, I don't have 10 grand. We don't have 10 grand. And I've just told you, we rarely travel with other people. He's like, all right, well, then let's look at the third option then. Then two people. And he tried to like recoup it. And I was like, I also don't have $5,500. And where do you expect me to be able to just be like, yeah, I'm here on £75. And he went, well, that is a marketing opportunity. And I went, so I'm supposed to feel obligated
to give you £5,000
because you've given me a marketing deal? Yeah. And he's like, well, no, but you know, that's why it's there. It's a marketing opportunity. And I was like, yes, a marketing opportunity. You can't expect to overturn every single person you get.
I've sat and I've hid your marketing opportunity.
And I'm out.
Mm. And I would have been like, here's 75 quid. That's yours. I'm going to go enjoy the rest of my trip.
And he was like, well, okay, let's do the math. You don't have to pay it all at once. It's going to be, and he started breaking it down per month. And he's like, it's only like £400 a month for X amount of months. And I went, no, I don't have the money. And I actually felt really like I was forced to tell him, hey, I don't have this type of money. And it made me feel bad. Like, it made me feel inferior. And in mid-sentence again of saying no for the fourth time, he went, he stuck his hand in my face in like a handshake and went, thanks for coming in. Just interrupted me. It's kind of like,
I'm not going to get the sale.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Right? Which, okay, you're going to admit defeat, but he was so like, he was fucking throwing his toys out the pram out of it. The way he looked, the way he said it. And I was like, sorry for wasting your time. And just like shook his hand. And he shook my hand. He pinched my fingers and then pushed my hand out the way as if to be like, dismissive.
Oh,
and I
God.
Just, I was like, I got up immediately and got out of that room, and Kat was like gathering her things. And the guy who was pitching us was trying to talk to Kat still, like just on a, like a normal human level. And I was like, can we go? And I felt, I didn't feel welcome. And it really put us off our day. We like spent most of the day being like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, that's gross.
And we saw Harvey Weinstein kicking about for the rest of the trip because he was pitching to all these other people. And I'm sure none of them, I saw all the people there. They're all like old retired couples. If they got bought, they felt pressured to buy, but like they don't have that type of money. You could just tell they were there because it was fucking 75 quid for three nights.
That's a terrible sales pitch.
Yeah, the worst.
That's really bad. And it's not even like a good savings. Like if you book holidays last minute and you can find some pretty good. You went to Lake Como. How much did it cost you to go to Lake Como?
It was like 600 quid.
600 quid. Yeah. And you went for a bunch of days and you rode on a boat and you stayed in a fantastic villa.
Yeah,
like,
it was great.
That is called a good, you know,
deal.
And it's still 600 fucking quid.
Who does a membership? Like, this is so outdated. It's so 90s. And this is a very different conversation,
you know why it's
than
expensive?
Our usual conversation.
Because they need to take a cut. That's why.
Well, exactly. And I think they were desperate because they obviously are not getting people signing up for it. And that's why Mr. Harvey Weinstein Big Shot was there, because he was like, my salesmen in England aren't cutting it. So I fucking traveled over from wherever he came from to make sure
it's
that...
It's a different market. An American talking to an English person is such a...
And it, yeah, like,
and an English person pitching to an American, very different thing as well.
Exactly. And I've been in those situations and I've had much, it was the worst pitch I've ever been a part of. And again, like the Michael Scott reference, like a bad sales pitch to a salesman is just the worst. I felt that. I was like, this is like, where do you connect the dots of they're here on £75, let's get them for 10 grand.
Yeah.
Like they're bound to be able to go for that. Like, where do you think we're going to get that money from?
That's, yeah.
It's bonkers. So
maybe
yeah.
It was a Hail Mary, like it was a last like attempt. They're like, let's just offer a cheap thing and maybe we'll sell some of this. We can get back on our feet. Like this maybe. Could be the end of their business.
It could be. And I was thinking, so that was the thing I was thinking, like, it doesn't matter that they were American. They can be from anywhere. But my point in this whole thing is like, they made it sound like they're the best thing that's ever happened to this Cotswolds location. And dude, five kings have stayed there and it's been passed down from generations. Like, the royals owned it for so long. And not that I'm saying that makes it so grand and like amazing, but they made it sound like none of the history matters. Now we're here. This is what makes it great. And I was like, where's the history? Like, if I'm staying in some 12th century villa in Tuscany, tell me about the fucking villa. Mm. Not like how great their shit wine is. Just, it blew my fucking mind. And we kept on seeing Harvey Weinstein kicking about and he ignored us. Like, wouldn't even make eye contact with us. Like, basically like, you're cheap dirt because you didn't say yes to me. And I just, it was gross. So yeah, that kind of put a bit of a dampen on our holiday, but we saw where William Shakespeare was buried.
And he was like, hey, well, you're interested in my timeshare.
Yeah, it was essentially like another version of a timeshare. Yeah. That's what it was. So yeah, that's the story I've been wanting to tell you. It really took us out of the holiday.
You're like, I'm unemployed.
I know.
I'm on benefits.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, where do you think? You didn't even ask us, like, what do you do for work? None of that.
Really?
And they never once asked us, how are you enjoying your stay so far? Like, it was kind of like, you're here, and I'm just going to shout at you until you say yes. It was fucking shit. Tell me something to cheer me up, because now I'm in a bad mood.
You brought a toy for my little dog, and she loves it, and she's had a great time with it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our weekend. But should we do a podcast?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's going to find that interesting or not.
Yeah, sorry. All right, let's talk about
Batman.
Batman, an American that I respect.
That's right.
All right, here we go.